You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award-winning boutique wealth manager. This week I'm speaking to Sonia Duplessis from Brenthurst Wealth. And we're going to talk about the biggest investment mistake that can be made and is constantly made by investors. Just tell us what it is first, and then I'll give you an example as well, please, Sonia. But over to you. What is the biggest mistake that we always make?
Hello, Lindsay, and hello to your listeners.
Thank you.
We've talked a lot about this subject on your podcast before, but I think it's definitely worthwhile repeating, because to me it seems like investors keep on stepping into this trap, and it is definitely worth reminding investors not to fall into this trap. But at the end of the day, the most expensive investment mistake you can make is not having money invested into equity markets, regardless of what the markets are doing. One shouldn't be scared and one shouldn't be hesitant to invest your money in growth assets.
Quite right. So being out of the market can be very, very costly. Now, I used to speak to a woman called Di Turpin. She used to be, 20 years ago, I think it was now, the head of the Unit Trust Association of South Africa, which is something else now. But anyway, it was a collective investment organization that looked after the regulatory side of things. And She would say, Lindsay, it doesn't matter whether it's a bull market of great fundamental consequence and people see the market going up. Most people will put their money in the money market or fixed income, for example. And the statistics were quite staggering. As the money went into so-called safe investments, the stock market was going up at the same time, and money would be coming out of the equity market, which seems rather peculiar to me.
Yeah, look, I mean, Lindsay, if you look at, if you look at the statistics for last year, 2025, massive amounts again went into money market and into cash and bond portfolios, which is the lowest risk that you can take with your investments. And if you just look at the amounts, 56.4 billion went into money market. This is now only for South African investments. Investors, 56.4 billion went into money market. Another 52 billion went into income funds, which is cash and bond. And then 16.5 billion was pulled out of our South African equity markets. So, these are large, large amounts saying and telling a story that clients or investors were very, very nervous of markets last year. And they had good reason to be so. Things politically was very unstable. I think we've got three wars going on now at the moment. So investors are very scared, very hesitant. But the fact of the matter is, regardless of what's happening in socio-politically, it definitely is still worthwhile keeping your money invested into markets. And now if you pull that, if you go full circle, going back to 2025, and I know hindsight is always 2020 perfect vision, but if you look at what markets actually did in 2025, the S&P delivered 17% in dollars, the NASDAQ 21% in dollars, emerging markets 33% in dollars. Our own South African JSE did 42% in rands last year. So people that, or clients that pull their money out of these equity markets and moved it to safe havens missed out on all of this growth. And just imagine if these clients kept their money in the markets.
It's tempting, though. It's human nature, isn't it? You understand. You hear the headlines, war in Iran, and all those years ago when Russia invaded Ukraine, you think, goodness me, I better get out and let the dust settle. The market's going to come off and then I'll get back in again. Wrong. You don't get back in again. I'll give you another example of that in a moment, because I spoke to a fund manager this week, a very, very well-known fund manager with 50 years experience in the market. And he said to me, Lindsay, for the first time, I got my team together and I said, if you want to take some money off the table, and this is mainly S&P 500 and NASDAQ, is if you want to take some money off the table, it's entirely justified. It's good. Bond yields are rising in the United States. Inflation is rising and projected to rise even further. Interest rates going up, and that's usually bad for the stock market, etc. So you can go ahead and do it if you want to. And at the end of the conversation, I said, did you do it as well? Did you take your own advice? He says, no, not a chance. Until the market tells me, until the market starts to turn down, I don't mind if I miss the first 3 or 4% because I've been in for years. If I lose the first 3 or 4% to the downside, it doesn't matter. I'm staying in. But people don't do that. Imagine if you'd sold just over a year ago when Trump made his famous or infamous Liberation Day tariff speech. If he'd got out the market then, you would never have had the chance to get back in, Sonia, because it was only a 3-4 day phenomenon.
Yeah, exactly, Lindsay. And like you said now, once you pull that plug on taking the money out of the market, when do you actually step back into the market again? And I mean, you'll never get it right. So the clever people out there, if you look at the fund managers, if you look at the people that's got years and years of experience behind them, they just leave their money in the market and ride the waves, the ups and downs of the market. The other thing that I do want to mention, Lindsay, is that, you know, now if you look back at what markets did last year, if you just look at the S&P, who did 17% in dollar terms, you might have other investors now saying, but look, Sonia, I only got 8% in dollars. Why didn't I get my 17%? And that's also human nature. We tend to compare what we got over the last year with benchmarks and with indexes. And that's also a trap that you shouldn't fall into, because a lot of the time, or most of the time, especially if you look at clients of Brainchurst, we won't invest a client's money fully into the S&P or into the NASDAQ. It is a diversified portfolio that's got a couple of asset classes where if it goes into a unit trust, just a portion of that will be exposed to the S&P or to the NASDAQ. So just be mindful to compare apples with apples and not look at your investment. If you only got 8% in dollars and the S&P did 17%, just be fair. Don't go to your advisor and say, listen, why didn't I get my 17%? And that's, you know, at the end of the day, Lindsay, that's why it's so important to, if you've got a diversified approach and if you're following a diversified investment philosophy, then you don't have to move in and out the markets. Then you've got your fund managers doing the buying and selling and making that call on behalf of you.
You give four reasons why equities are a good idea, and these are very basic principles. For example, one of them is equities usually outpace inflation. And if you look at it over whether it be 10 years or 60 years, the fact is that that is the truth. And if you stay in the market, as you've said repeatedly, that if you stay in the market, then compounding will work in your favor over the years. So I don't think we need to go through those four points that you make, Sonia. I think what's more powerful is that 60 years of proof paragraph that you kindly sent me in your article, because the numbers are really staggering. Perhaps you want to go through the different comparisons of different asset classes for us.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, Lindsay, it basically says that there's 60 years of proof showing that equity markets or stock markets perform better over the long term compared to cash, bonds, and property. And I mean, it just takes a very simple $100 that's been invested 60 years ago. So that would be 1965. That $100 will be worth $1,500 today. So that's an average of 4.5% return. Now, this is looking at actual data, so it's not, you know, pulled out of thin air. If you look at government bonds, that $100 will be worth $2,800 in 60 years' time. That's about 5.5% average return. And then if you look at something like gold, where you bring in a little bit more risk, gold after 60 years, that $100 would be worth $12,000. And that is about 7.5%. But now, if you look at that $100 invested into equity markets or in stocks, in comparison, that would be worth $43,000 in 60 years' time. And that's an average of 10.5% annual return. So it's actual proof showing that if you just left your money in the market, 60 years is a very, very long time, Lindsay. But even if you just half that to 30 years, it still makes sense. And if you're going to have your COVID-19s in between, you're going to have your wars in between, and it's quite normal for markets to fluctuate. The main thing is just to sit tight and not move in and out.
Quite right. And the question that you ask also in the article, you say, who should be in equities? A lot of people say, well, I'm retired now. I can't take the risk of being in equities. It's a risky asset class. And you say, well, okay, you're 60 years old or you're 65 years old and your family history suggests that, and medical advancements mean that you're going to live for another 20, 25, even 30 years. Over that period, yeah. Being out of the market just because you think it's too risky is exactly the wrong. It's actually, in some ways, Sonia, it's too risky not being in the market.
Yeah. Yeah, no, exactly, Lindsay. It's a massive opportunity cost. And you still do get a lot of clients saying that, you know, if once I go in retirement, I want to de-risk. But what you have to do is, you need that growth engine in your living annuity or in your retirement capital. And data also shows that you at least need 55 to 60% in equities. And then, you know, we can go on about the bucket approach as well. We usually put like 1 to 3 years money aside in money markets. So that will provide your income in the short term. Then we go, we cater for the medium term and then for the long term. So, Lindsay, and I know it sounds stupid because we've talked about this so many times, but investors, you know, it's definitely worth repeating because investors, they do not think of it. They do not think of their retirement plan as a long-term strategy as well. So, yeah, and even if you boil down to the equity exposure, if you've got that 55 to 60% equities, you also need a very healthy balance between local equities and offshore equities. Don't just go and put everything offshore or everything local JSE equities. You need a good chunk of that if you're a South African to go into offshore equities.
I think it's worth making the point as well that it's not one size fits all. It's not the sort of cookie cutter approach, as the Americans would say. Everyone has a different time horizon. Everyone has different financial aspirations. So you've got to go to a financial advisor and sit down and say, this is how much money I've got. This is how much money I need after retirement, etc. And it's a tailored plan. Is that good advice?
Yes, yeah, no, exactly, Lindsay. And that's what we are trying to educate our clients with. And definitely, it's worthwhile having a plan. It's worthwhile reviewing that plan. So important to review it on an annual basis to see if you're still on track. And yeah, then, you know, if there's a plan in place, then everything is sorted.
Sonia, thanks so much for your time and your expertise. Sonia Duplessis is head of Brenthurst Wealth in beautiful Stellenbosch. And that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.